Gutter Dave.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night call. We have got the group here. We are still waiting on a couple of our moderators to join us, but Jesse is here, John's here, Jeff is here. I'd like to welcome all you guys to the call tonight. Jesse said he's got some really good news, and I just wonder what that might be. He's snickering, everybody.
Oh, my God, you have no idea.
That's more like a cackle, Dave.
Oh, did you hear from somebody that begins with an N?
No. Go on and let's get our introduction going, man. I'm dying to get off.
Okay. All right. Well, he's cackling there. Good evening. This is the Tuesday night open call. It is the 4th of February already, 2014. And I'd like to welcome everybody. I'll toss it to Jesse to do our little disclaimer. And then, of course, we will go to good news after that. So if anybody has good news, hit the one key on your keypad, just the one key. So, Jesse, how about a little disclaimer?
All mine.
Tell people what we don't
good
do.
Good evening, everybody. Yeah, we don't give legal advice around here. So if that is what you're looking for, you have come to the wrong place. You actually need to go see an attorney if you want that. But we are going to have a lot of fun discussing legal situations. Situations, the way we would handle things and the way we do handle things, which I'm going to go into mine today, my little story, and that's a perfect case in point of what we do and how it works for us. And if you want to implement it, that's up to you. But again, remember, we're going to discuss all the legal information, have a lot of fun doing so. But if you really want legal advice, guys, you really need to go seek an attorney. I can't overemphasize that. Please go seek an attorney. So with that being said, guys, listen, I have two announcements. I've been talking about this for 2 years, haven't done it. Today is the reason that I'm going to announce what I'm going to announce. And it's taken 6 long years, but I got my house free and clear today. We won the trial, hands down. Directed verdict in your face, Bank of America. So, I'm so giddy, I can't even freaking talk about it. Okay?
I knew there was something big going on. Yeah, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
So nobody tell me it can't be done because it's done. It not only can it be done, it's done. So one down, two more to go. I got another trial on the 24th. But I'll tell you guys, to go through the intricacies of everything that I've done along with Tanner now, I'm not taking credit by myself, of course. As I always say, when you can find a good attorney to work with that listens to you, that has an open mind that you can mold and shape and work with, hand in hand, as they always say, mano a mano, you need to do it. And over 7 years, Tanner and I become good friends. And, of course, we never, and I mean we, because I want to include all of our moderators, generally we'll never talk about or say, hey, you ought to try that or, you know, this. So we've done it and it's worked. So we are the living proof that it works. And fortunately for us, a lot of our members this year have really, really, really slammed the door on a lot of debt collection issues, debt collector issues, credit cards, student loans, foreclosure. We can't, it just goes on and on and on. There's no way to keep track. It's impossible. Not everybody tells us everything that they've done. Not everybody wants to share like everybody. But I'll tell you what, when you set them up to where the attorneys themselves are bringing in the PSA and take the courts, put in a They actually filed. What the heck is that noise, Dave? You hearing that, buddy?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Yeah, they actually filed and requested that the court take judicial notice of the PSA. I about fell out of my chair when we seen that, and the judge says, "Are you guys? Do you have any objections to it?" And I almost blurted out, "No, we supplemented it. We actually want that in there." We blocked their testimony today. We basically shot their – they tried this last-minute stuff. And, of course, all these things we've learned over the years, it's not like this is something new. To me, I know a lot of you guys haven't been to trial yet, Some of you have gotten close, but no cigar. Trial is a fun place to be if you do it right and you play your cards right. I got a trial May 31st also. So I got 24th and then May 31st. So I'm pretty busy with trials over the next couple of months. And I plan on winning all of them. I really, really do. If it goes anything like today, where the judge literally on the record, and guys, I'm going to go ahead and clean up the transcripts when I get them. It's going to cost me about $600 to get those transcripts, but I got to get them because it's a learning tool and a teaching tool. I'm going to clean them up, sanitize them, and get them up for our members. And I'm going to use that. I'm going to form what I'm just going to call the round table, and I'm going to open that up to about 50 members. Just watch your emails. I'll be sending that out. I've been talking to John and Dave about it for 2 years. We've been talking about it. Members emailing me, emailing Gary, talk about it. They want a little bit more in depth than what we got because they're not that they're past the website, because I'm not even past the web. There's just so much information there. Just make your head spin. But they want more strategic help and how to strategize things and how to do things. And Tanner and I were cracking up. Dave, you remember me talking about the usury that we did back in 2009 with Chase, and we got the felony usury charge against him? You guys remember me talking about that a while back, and I talked about it on the tutorial. Well, Tanner's got that even more more perfected.
Oh,
and today we're
God.
Cracking up. Oh, no, I am absolutely telling you, man. It is hammer time on these guys. The typical lawsuit, you know, gets a statement attached to it. And then the contract and whatever. So immediately, and I want, you know, this is part of what the inner circle is about, things that we use that we don't even talk about because we don't, at least I don't feel that most of the membership is ready. And I prove me wrong. I want to give it to the 50 strongest members we have to get in there, and who knows, someday they'll be moderating or helping others on the side, or who knows. But at the end of the day, these are tactics that we use. And it worked. And in essence, what he did now is he comes in and immediately says, wait a minute, that statement or those statements are usury in the state of Florida. So that's part of the affirmative answers, right? Affirmative defenses in your answer. And immediately they come back and say, well, wait a minute. This was Capital One, by the way. We are a national association, and since we are a national credit card and a national bank, we can carry the laws of our state, and the laws of our state apply when we file a lawsuit. So we have to go by the laws of our state. Well, great. It's an immediate judgment on the pleadings. We're in Florida, not Delaware. You said you needed to go by the laws of Delaware. Have a good day. Simple as that. He says 100% of the time I win. 100%. He said, man, those guys don't know what the hell happens when you do that to them. You know, and it could be South Dakota, North Dakota. Well, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You see, because what happens is when you start checking statutes in other states like the Dakotas or Delaware where a lot of these banks are incorporated, sometimes the statute of limitations runs on the prosecution. What do their usury statutes say? So you got to check all this stuff, but these are tips and tricks that we use, at least I use, to hammer these guys and don't. And the trial, when we get into it later, it's not going to happen tonight. It's just too much detail. How to disqualify the witness. The judge on the record said to the attorney for the bank, I've tried everything I can to get your witness on and I can't do it. He literally said that, like, I've given you every break possible and you screwed everything up. So they had nobody to testify today and they still decided to move forward. She's cocky.
Oh,
and what happens
God.
Is this. Oh, yeah. I mean, rather than taking, now listen carefully what I'm going to say. And I know this attorney's listening to this call, whether it's tonight, tomorrow night, whatever. We've had 2,600 downloads since we started on Blog Talk on the 1st of January. So there's a lot of people listening to this after the fact. At the end of the day, what happens is the attorney gets cocky, thinks she's going to win. I got the note. She pulled me up to the stand. Is this your signature? Well, yes, it looks like my signature. Do you remember this note? Well, yes, I kind of remember the note. You know, I'm not causing any problems. I'm just being honest and truthful with them because that's what you're supposed to do. Doesn't matter what you say, it's what does she have to establish a foundation for in order to win this trial? And what happens is she had nothing. We just knocked her witness out. She brings a PSA in. I have David Stern on the phone listening to all this. He's going to testify as one of my witnesses on my behalf. He's testifying in my favor. So the old famous Stern. Well, you know, the judge has tried everything, and finally just gave up. He's like, there's nothing I can do for you. So she she moves on, and think about what I'm going to say right now. I'll say it again. Think carefully what I'm going to say. At that point, any smart attorney with 2 cents between them ears would have said, we're going to take a voluntary dismissal. No. Uh-uh. She says, she took a break, went out into the hall, and said, my client and I are ready to proceed. And I looked at Tanner. Tanner looked at me, and I said, oh, they're done. And no sooner did he says, well, what do you, you know, we need to do right now, we're going to move for a directed verdict. And the judge says, explain it all. And he says, well, I got to give it to him. Now what happens is they cannot come back on those set of facts. It's done. It's basically a forced dismissal with prejudice.
Yeah.
That's what she took instead of just saying, oh, we're going to voluntarily dismiss it. That way she could have refiled all her junk. Now the PSA, the assignment, all that stuff, she can't use it ever again.
It's res judicata.
It's done. So now what we're doing is filing. Here's another trick, guys. We're going to file the small claims for the breaking and entering. Some of you remember in December they broke into this property because I was painting it and I was just cleaning it up, getting it fresh for a new tenant. And they broke in, secured it, da-da-da-da-da. My realtor goes over. There's a friend of mine. I say my realtor, but he is a realtor. He's a friend of mine. He goes over, rips out their lockbox, changes everything, puts his lockbox on it, whatever. Breaking and entering for lender securitization services or some crap. So we know who they are, whatever. So I'm going to file small claims. Now, here's another sneaky little trick. We're filing small claims, and on that small claims, we're going to claim it's an FCCPA under the Florida Act, not the federal, right? So we can keep it. We don't give them a chance to take it to the federal. We're going to keep it in small claims right there in the county. But to that, we will attach the note and say the cause of this suit is based on the collection of this note. And for you laymen, and I don't know Dave, Don, or anybody, have you guys gotten where I'm heading with this already? Has anybody got a clue where I'm heading with that? The action is based on the note. We attach the note.
Yep.
Okay, what do you think it is, Terry? I'm going to give you guys some guesses.
Well, if they are acting as a debt collector.
I know this. That's why I'm suing them. So why? What's the purpose of attaching the note to the complaint and saying the alleged violations occurred because of this note? And
because
then you attach the note.
Because that note is no longer collectible.
No, wrong. Next. Dave, John, you're pretty sharp. What are you thinking?
I'm not sure.
Yep.
You have such a devious mind, Jesse. It's
yeah, but that, so does John. So does John. So John should have it.
Yeah. Well, what happens is you're putting him in a place where they have to do a mandatory counterclaim. Here's the note. Foreclose on it.
Uh-huh.
If they don't catch on to that, and they come in and they don't do the mandatory counterclaim, it's over for life. You've waived it now.
What if they do?
It's res judicata, remember?
Oh, that's right.
I already got
it. They can't anyway.
Either way, they lose. But my point is they're not smart enough to catch it.
Yeah.
So Tanner and I are in the truck for an hour and a half driving back today. And I'm like, Tanner, man, we've got to get them right in that corner, man. Where, you know, today, if they would have validated, if the court would have upheld the assignment, we win. If the court would have said, no, the assignment's no good, we win. See, these are the positions that you have to really strategize and think long-term to come out ahead, right? And we've put them all in this position. Literally, every one of my cases is in this position. Basically, you're screwed either way unless you just get a rogue judge that says, I'm not listening to anything. You're the defendant. You lose. And that's fine. We'll have it for appeal. It's irrelevant. Then they owe me a big bunch of money. I don't care. My point is, it's very simple, that when you're strategizing this stuff, you got to think long-term. So it's a chess game. I'm 25 moves ahead. So I'm going to file small claims. They're going to come in, and I'm going to say, listen, that was a violation of the FCCPA, breaking and entering, and I'm going to put in a going around counsel, right? Simple enough. Depends on the collected debt. Now, this is Bank of America. Remember, I don't have any assignment to Bank of America. I got nothing. So we're going to hold them there, but I'm going to attach a note. They're going to come in and look at that note, and they're either going to do a mandatory counterclaim because they have to. That is a mandatory, right? It's not compulsory. It's mandatory. What they call permissive versus mandatory. They got to do it. If they don't do it, they waive it for life. So every time that they were trying to refile a foreclosure going down the road, okay, I got statute of limitations here, I got res judicata here, and you waived it here. Now, Terry, the note becomes uncollectible at that point.
Yes.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Through three different avenues, which is the point, not just one. I'm not just saying, oh, it's just the statute of limitations. No, you had your chance to foreclose a second time, and you didn't take it. You waived it. You see? So now these are the little things that I'm talking about that you really got to strategize when it comes to this. Just like I haven't talked about any of the credit card stuff in a long time because there's just so much food out there for the brain that you do is start to confuse people. And that's why I want to start a little group, limit it to the 50 members that are really into it. Not even 50. I don't even know. I might just do 25. I don't know yet. Just watch your emails. But we're going to keep it very, very small, and we'll go at it for like 90 days. Heavy and hard, you know, a couple days a week, and get this done. I just think that that's the best way for people to learn. I really, really do. But these are strategies that we use. So I got a free and clear house today. I'm done. It's a done deal. So any attorneys out there that are listening and thinking, oh, you can't get a free, you're full of crap. I got it.
Oh, that is just so awesome, Jesse. I'm so happy.
Congratulations,
buddy. Yeah, I am so freaking ecstatic, I can't even tell you. I'm telling you, my wife and I took her to dinner as soon as I got home. I'm like, we're going to go eat, man.
You know when you said...
And relax.
You know when you said that collectors were going to buy your house? Well, they just did.
There's one.
Yeah, they just did.
There's one, and I got, you know... Yeah, I got Nation Star working on another one right now. So, you know, it's just a matter of executing these things, guys. And I know that a lot of people are in foreclosure, a lot of people are dealing and fighting, and they go about it all the wrong way. You know, they want to blame the whole thing on the judge, or, you know, there's many a ways to go about, many ways to offensively attack, to be proactive like I have been for 6 years. I'm relentless. I'm relentless. You know, the lady, when she filed the PSA, I liked it freaking done three cartwheels. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This dumb woman actually filed the PSA, and there's case history in Florida that says we don't have to even look at the PSA. No, she files it into the damn file. You know, proud, proud.
Oh, oh yeah.
You heard.
Yeah. I'm going to knock this guy out by putting this PSA in here. Oops.
Well, I
want to
be.
Gun was pointed the wrong way.
I just want to be a fly on the wall when she explains to her client what just happened.
Well, the client was sitting there. And the
I know, but
testify.
She's still got some splaining to do.
Oh, she got a little bit of splaining to do.
Exactly.
On top of that, she owes, remember I said, $7,500 to depose 11 witnesses in California.
Ooh-wee.
So I get that back, plus all the attorney's fees, which Tanner doesn't charge me anything anyway up front. He just does it, you know, because we're like, I'm like the experimental guinea pig, the guy who glows green in the dark, you know. So he'll get all his fees for 6 years. Oh, it cost him at least 20 grand today. At least 20 grand.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
No wonder you're giggling.
I'm a little kitty kid on my first date. I'm telling you, I'm so happy. It's ridiculous.
Wow, it's the Jesse prom.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, man. It's just one of those things that, you know, you feel good about it.
Well, you
should
feel good about it. You know, you accomplished something that most people haven't been able to. And the cool part about it is, like you said, you want to start the inner circle. We have talked about it a number of times. And, you know, you wanted to get to this point before you really got into that. So now you can.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that the guinea pig can say, look, here, guys, here's the transcripts. You can see the trial for itself. You can see the ruling for yourself. You know, the documents don't matter. That's where everybody's confused. It's, oh, I want to see all the pleadings. I want to see this. I want to see that. That really doesn't matter because every single case is like DNA. It's different.
Yep.
You have to come up with a strategy for your particular case. What do they have? What don't they have? Where do they screw? This is what you have to analyze. And that's what I do. I can sit there and add, like John strategizes things. I try to sit there and pick things apart. I'll give you another example. I'll turn a negative into a positive. I was really upset. We got missed the deadline for the filing of the motion for summary judgment in the federal court on the Cohen case. That was done the 14th, didn't file till the 31st. I got mad at Marshall, you know, all this, and I thought for a second, I calmed down. I said, you know what, this guy, I like to turn lemonade into lemons, okay? I go backwards. I don't want to take no for an answer. I never do. And I thought to myself, okay, we got trial May 31st. So if we go to the judge and say, listen, there was a screw-up here, but if you look at the facts and you just consider our summary judgment, right on its face, the facts are crystallized through depositions, through discovery, documents, everything's attached to that. The law, the decision for you to make here is right there. It's crystallized. It's a done deal. So you can either waive the 2 weeks that we were late and he's got some other excuses, family issues, or we can go to a jury trial and we can, you know, waste all kinds of judicial resources. So let's in turn, in order to save judicial resources, waive the 2 weeks, look at it, and if you think that you can rule on that alone, let's just rule on it, get out of the way. So explain it nicely to the judge. Now, judge, I ran that by Tanner, too, and Tanner says, wait a minute. If I'm a judge and I'm looking at having to go through jury and trial and all that in my courtroom where I can just look at a summary judgment and waive the 2 weeks, I'm waiving the 2 weeks, man. I ain't going through all that stuff.
Right, right.
So, you know, I turned the negative. You know I was mad yesterday. Man, I was fuming yesterday. And you know, I said, I can't act this way. You got to just think. Forget the emotion. This is business. And I try to tell everybody that. It's business. It's nothing else.
And yeah, you got to keep the emotion out of things, don't you?
Yes, yes. And you know
and
it's hard
works.
For me, Dave. I'm emotional anyway when it comes to this kind of stuff. I'm, you know, but at the end of the day, the best thing to do is just keep your head calm and just move forward. And that's what I did. And listen, I'm happy I did because it's really, really worked out. I'm like a little kid, man. Sorry.
Well, congratulations. That is a big-time feather in your cap. I mean,
well,
it's
a big-time feather in the membership cap going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is, guys. I mean, I'm like, you know, just ecstatic. We got a good judge. I even thanked the judge. I said, hey, thanks for doing your job. And he looked at me. I said, not too many of you do it anymore. Literally.
Wow.
Spoke the truth.
That's exactly what I said to him. Yeah, he didn't say anything. He said, thank you very much, young man. You know.
Young man.
Well, he's like 65 or something, older guy. And he says, no, I'm in
like
my courtroom by the book. Yeah, he just said, I run my courtroom by the book, is exactly what he said, period. Nothing's going to change.
Well, that's like that judge that told one of our members, what was it, last week, no, this is not my court. This is your court. We only exist because of you.
Right.
That's very rare that you even hear any nonsense like that.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I'm done with my good news. Guys, those of you that are interested in getting in, or just watch your emails, because I'm going to put it up on the forum also. And share with you guys, and we'll just go from there. And it's going to cover various things. It's not just foreclosure. So it'll be just how to defend a case in general strategically and come out ahead. That's really what the goal is. It's nothing more. You know, foreclosure is not that special, guys. It's easy. It's not easy, but it's not hard either. It's not very difficult. You can get away and be successful in many, many different arenas. In the foreclosure arena. It's not just foreclosure. I want you to be able to knock out using the same strategies you can use in foreclosure you use for credit card debt, student loan debt, anything to do with debt collectors, and then how to just literally put a stop to them so where they're dead in their tracks. So I'm done with my good news. I think that's enough good news for the night, is it not? On my end.
That was pretty interesting. That was pretty
interesting. That was a good news bomb.
Yeah, I am stoked, man. Forget about it. I don't want to talk about it no more.
That was nuclear good news.
Yeah, I just laugh when I think about it. I'm like a little kid. It's just too funny to see that lady's face like, what? No, you just didn't do that, Judge. Yes, you did.
No, I can't believe you just did that to me.
Yeah, the look on her face was like, it was surreal. Like, there's no way you just did that.
That's when you really wish they'd let you have cameras in court.
Yeah, she never even said, thank you, Your Honor, nothing.
Well,
zero.
Are you surprised?
Right, you're supposed
it would be
to
pretty
say
tough
thank
for
you.
Her to be saying surprise.
I know you're supposed to say it, but it would have choked her at that point.
I think so. She'd have freaking choked on her own spit or something. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited. So. Yep. All
that's
right. Let's
great.
Get on with good news, guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get on with our good news and move on with our call.
Yep. Any of the other moderators got any good news? Larry, John, Terry, Jeff?
I'm moving along just fine. And strategy seems to be working so far.
Okay.
I have a little bit of good news, but I'm almost embarrassed to say after that spectacle.
Oh, no. We take all kinds. You know that, Larry.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to beat that one, but you know,
well, yeah,
not a contest.
Sure. So,
yeah,
you know,
the bar kind of high, didn't I?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps. Anyway, I'm working on a series of little teeny tiny collection agencies and got a $2,000 settlement today.
There you go.
Oh, very good.
Oh, good.
Good, good, good.
Your goal is to make them even teenier and tinier?
No.
They're bank accounts.
Yeah, bank.
I mean, I've got about six or seven, and these are like really junky, stupid debt collectors trying to collect like $50, $70, admitting that they weren't actually trying to collect the debt. They were trying to sell me a magazine. I mean, just stupid stuff like that.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I forgot my other good news, dang it. I forgot. I told Larry, I think, yesterday, or Dave, or John, I can't, one of them, the PRS, did I tell you, Larry? We sued them
not
last
sure.
year. Yeah. In 2013, my wife sued PRS for trying to collect a alleged but non-existent debt, right? So they paid us $2,500. Well, I opened up the mail yesterday or the day before, and the same letter for the same exact amount for the same exact debt that they paid us for is sitting there again.
Nice.
From the same people?
From PRS.
Yep.
You got it.
Oh, man.
That's an easy another $2,500. Yeah, I'm not even going to have to file anything. I'll just call them and say, okay, really? We need to do that again.
The barrel of dumb moves is bottomless.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Somebody will get their butt chewed for that one.
Yeah.
I can't believe you sent them another letter. You better make sure that's out of the system.
Then I'm executing, by the way, tomorrow my writ on Tate and Curlin. And then I'm going to give that to the marshals here in Florida. They're going to process it with the marshals in Pennsylvania. I'm going to make arrangements with the marshals there and the U-Haul. And I promise my members I will have this on video for your viewing enjoyment.
Oh,
I am going to pull up at Tate and Curlin with the U.S. Marshals, and I will be driving up the U-Haul. Will be following me.
Oh, man, I want to go with you because I need an office chair.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I'm going to make the biggest spectacle because I'm just going to walk in, and it's for $23,000. And I'm going to say, where is the head honcho's office? Why? Because that's the furniture I want in my office.
Exactly.
And I'm going to videotape this.
Executive chair.
That's right. They might not let me in, but I am going to videotape it. I will be videotaping that. So have no doubt that sometime I got to fly up there, and I'll probably do it in middle of March to Pennsylvania, depending how fast they can get the writs done and sent up there, and I can get all that done. But I am going to go up and collect, and when I collect, it's going to be pretty. Oh, my God, is it going to be pretty. So stay tuned, folks. Yeah. I got my hands full, David. I forgot about that.
Yes, I know. You got that information that I sent you for the contact. Get a hold of Henry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he hasn't responded to me for anything. So.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's all right. I got it handled. Marshall and I took care of it, so we know exactly what has to happen. No big deal.
Okay. Yeah. You. All right. That's all we can do. Okay.
Yeah, no,
now,
that's all we can do. You're right, buddy.
The only good news I've got is I have my response to the motion just pretty much all done, and I will be tentatively filing it with the court tomorrow, my response to a motion to have me deemed a vexatious litigator and have to post bond. And the only
and
thing
you
I
are
can
a vexatious
say,
litigator.
And
you
it is
that.
A classic.
Yeah, why don't you just admit it, man?
All I can say is I think there's going to be an attorney that's going to be very, very displeased when she gets her copy and reads it. That's all I'm going to say publicly. I don't think she's going to be a happy camper. And, you know, Jesse got a view of what I've done yesterday.
I got a little whiff of it.
Terry
well,
had a whiff
I'm
of it
right,
as well.
Right? It's a classic.
Yeah. It is. It's a good one. It's definitely a good one. So,
so again, guys, this is all stuff.
Yeah, this is all stuff that we deal with. That there's no information on the website over, because it literally is just so much on the website that we can't overload the newbies that are coming aboard. And so I know, but there's a lot of longtime members. We have members. We have a whole bunch of members that have been here since day one, over 3 years, and have been very successful. They're always looking for other avenues. So, you know, Dave, Larry, you've been called a vexatious litigant. John, you've been called a vexatious. Now, Dave, I haven't been.
No, me too.
Oh, and Terry, too. Yeah, I didn't know, Terry. I didn't know if you had or not. So, you know, if something that happens, you're going to have to learn to deal with it. And if you don't know how to deal with it, they'll screw you every time. So
yeah, and,
that's part
and,
of the material
and,
we want to cover.
Right. And in the case of the one that I got, it was, I guess the best way to just say it nicely is it was really lame. So I've you know, done my research and stuff, and eventually that information will be available if people find themselves in that position. But somebody left the barn door open, and I walked right in. So I'm gonna probably get that filed tomorrow. But my other phone calls, all of a sudden my phone went silent. So I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to start litigating on some of the other stuff. But that's all I got. I know we got some people out here with good news. If anybody has good news, you got to press the 1 key on your phone, and that will put you in the queue. So let's see if we can check and see if we get some good news here. How about 770? Do you have some good news for us? 770, I just unmuted you. Do you have some good news?
Sorry. I had to unmute too. I think this is good news, but it's nothing compared to Jesse, so, you know, I hate to even say anything.
Oh, no. Don't. No, we're not comparing. Yeah,
that's right.
Not a contest.
Listen, mine is just as good as yours, as good as anybody else's, and I, you know, it's got nothing to do with monetary value or nothing.
Okay, it's
so
different.
I appreciate
right?
it. I do appreciate it, but no, everybody
I mean, this is just,
knows how I am.
It's amazing because it gives us all hope and confidence to move forward, so... You know, I'm just grateful you stuck it out for all of us.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah.
6.5 years, so,
you know. Okay,
you know
I'm in foreclosure in Florida, right?
Yeah,
I had a hearing in December.
Okay.
I was supposed to answer by the 5th. The orders never came down from the judge. They were supposed to be done by the attorney. The attorney sent them on the 5th. And the judge gave me 5 days to object if I questioned their orders, which I did, definitely, because they're trying to throw personal jurisdiction there as part of the order. Anyway, Wendy helped me with it, and we redid the orders and did the objections. And okay, this was a month ago, right? They're supposed to answer I did a motion to dismiss. I turned it
no,
down.
No, they don't have to answer that. Remember, a motion to dismiss doesn't have to be answered. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, they don't have. Well, they told him. Well, he said I needed to reply, and they needed to reply by the 4th. They don't have to respond to that?
No, you do a motion to dismiss. They can either reply or not reply. It doesn't matter either way. And then what happens at that point is you call it for hearing. See, it's your motion, so you have to set it for hearing. It's not theirs. It's yours.
Right.
So
yeah.
You get it. You set it for hearing, and then that's it. You hear it. End of story. And you'll probably lose anyway. So don't get excited. Motions to dismiss are rarely ever won.
Well, I did. I won my counterclaim. I mean, they didn't dismiss my counterclaim. But anyway, we're starting. This is starting all over again. This is a brand new, complaint, right? Took it out of NREM and put money on it. Stupid, I think. But maybe there's something I don't know. But okay, what they ended up doing the day after, I think on the 9th of January, they filed summons. As an heir, me as an executor, and my brother, which they have never served. It's on the title.
I remember you now. Okay.
The court refuses to send the summons to serve the complaint, even though I accepted the service in court, because there were no orders. So immediately after that, I did a notice of I sent it to the judge and to the other side, and it was, there's like 8 things on it. I said, plaintiff has applied for a summons outside of the judge's orders. plaintiff's summons is being used to cover up and admit plaintiff's previous mistakes. Plaintiff is now attempting to correct their own errors, which voided their whole action to begin with. Plaintiff is admitting that they do not understand the rules of court. This court has a deed title in front of it issued by its own court and has allowed trespass on the title of this court. Defendant does not believe this court of equity holds the authority to force her to continue to address J.B. Nutter's tortfeasing, illegal misrepresentations, masquerading as legitimate, knowledgeable legal professionals. Alleged attorneys for the plaintiff, James B. Nutter, appear to be profiting by plunder while misleading this court, as is proved conclusively by their own filings and documents or lack thereof. And last, plaintiff's alleged attorneys have counsel have violated their own rules of professional conduct, and this court's rules and procedures under trespass on defendant's title issued by this court now amounting to theft, which this court must address in a criminal manner. In conclusion, defendant can no longer cooperate with any more plaintiff's misrepresentations, fraud, or illegal acts. If defendant is in error, she orders the court to provide findings of fact and conclusion of law that prove otherwise, the plaintiff can sue this defendant for a dead man's contract. Guess what I haven't heard, who I haven't heard from.
Oh, I bet. That's good. That is good news.
That's been a month, and he has still not signed the orders.
That's good news, though.
Yeah.
So now, the thing is, I don't want to go back into the court, Jesse, because he needs to address this issue.
But you're going to have to go back into the court
to
address the issue anyway. Doesn't matter. You're going to have to go back in whether you like it or don't like it.
No, I mean, I want them to just, first of all, jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera. He has to deal with the criminal matter first. I've made them aware of it many times. Now I put it in front of him.
Yeah, well, the criminal, remember, you can't prosecute, so all you can do is file a criminal complaint. So have you gone to your local sheriff's department or police department and filed whatever criminal complaint you're going to file? That you have to do. Once you file that, you give it to the state's attorney's office and you ask them to prosecute it. You have to follow through with it. You can't prosecute. So it's like me with the trespassing on the house over there. I filed a trespassing charge with the police department. They said, okay, it's too late now. They're gone. Okay, great. But I have it documented, right? So that's documented and done. Now, when I go to court, the judge looks at that and says, okay, well, hell, you know, you do have a trespassing charge here. It's filed the way it's supposed to be filed with the police department. They recognize it. Everybody recognizes it. And you're done. So I'm going to file, you know, like a $500 part of that lawsuit would be $500 in damages to John Doe. Who's John Doe? We know who John Doe. John Doe's the guy who works for the damn bank over there that's a separate corporation. So when I find who John Doe is, at least I've inconvenienced him for $500 for the trespass. I can't really do anything else, but once I find who he is, he's going to have to pay. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's going to have to pay. So, see, sometimes you can get him hard and other times you can't, but you still got to get him. You got to move to get him. You can't just let him slide. That's for dang sure.
Well, I filed an amended motion to dismiss in the court yesterday. So, because Wendy and I redid it because the memorandum should have been separate from the actual motion to dismiss, and it was all together, and it's so much better reading it this way because the motion to dismiss is clear and concise, and the memorandum has everything in it that I need to put in it, but the judge doesn't have to read it unless he wants to.
You're correct.
Okay, well, we got to stay on good news, guys.
No, all right. Yeah, let's go. That's fine, David. You're right.
All right, thanks.
All righty, thank you.
Well, she did good.
All right.
Pat herself in the back.
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's go to 920 for good news.
Yeah, this is Melvin here in Wisconsin. On my Tennessee property, Dave, that we were talking about yesterday, I contacted the lawyer and had a talk with him, and I'm very optimistic about reaching a settlement on that one. Because remember last night I just told you that he wanted to do that, but what he gave me as representing the bank was just a lot of nothing and beating around the bush and not giving me numbers to work with. So, like you said, I laid it out today for him. I said, look, I'm working on something. I got numbers because you haven't done what I requested on your end, so I will move first here, and then I expect you to take it to them, and so I can get a counter and we can keep this thing moving and get it done. I put him on the spot a little bit. He was polite, but he knew I wasn't happy. So that's a little bit of good news.
All right, yeah. Well, you're moving forward. You're pushing it along to get some resolution. So that is good news, absolutely.
Yep.
Good deal. All righty, that all you got?
Yep, that's all I got. I got a question. I'll come back in later.
All righty. Thank you. Can you press 1 on your keypad? And Sherry, who was on before, if you'll press 1 on your keypad, that'll take you out of the queue as well. That just helps us. Okay. Let's go to 317. Have you got some good news for us? Hello, 317. You are unmuted. Hello, 317. One more time. Well, evidently not, so we're going to mute that back. Let's go to 973. 973,
hello.
You got some good news for us?
Well, actually, I don't know if that could be a good news. I did what I was told. I filed a motion for enlargement of time. I sent in a dispute letter, and I was asking for a debt validation. But I haven't heard from them, from the court, neither from the lawyer. Is it a good thing? Or
well,
because you
just sent it a few days ago, right?
2 weeks ago I did it.
Yeah, well, you don't necessarily hear anything real quick.
No, that's a good thing. Sometimes when you file those, they're not, always
quiet.
Remember, when you're in this battle here, no news is good news. Always 100% of the time.
Right.
Always remember that. So don't people say, oh, I haven't heard nothing in a year. So what? Go fishing or something. Go bowling. I don't know. Just forget about it.
What would be my next step?
You have to either going to grant you your hearing for the extension of time, or they're going to grant you the motion probably without a hearing. Let me repeat that or rephrase that. And then when they do, he'll either ask you to answer within 20 days, and they have to validate the debt before they take any more steps at all. So there's no next step. It's just how do they play in the game. That's all. It's up to them now. You've already done yours. In the meanwhile, I would be learning as much as I could possibly learn.
Right, that was another thing. I was checking in reference to the credit card, but I couldn't find anything specific. That what I saw. Well, next Tuesday, I will be asking that question too. So where can I go?
What are you looking for? What do you mean in specific to your credit card? I don't get it.
I mean, is anybody did the same thing that I did it? So what was the next thing that I got to do? So, of course, when I have to answer the complaint, will I be asking? Yes, in New Jersey we have a funny form in here that they give you like a 5 options to answer, and when the last one it says others. So in that area, so I just wasn't sure, and I don't know. So I just want to be prepared what I have to answer in that for that complaint.
Nobody can tell you what to answer in your complaint because we don't know what the allegations are. We don't know what was attached to it. We have no idea. That's why you have to study so you can identify what you need to do.
Exactly.
Everybody's different. There is no 2 complaints, and I don't care what anybody says. Larry, he mediates this stuff. He sees this kind of stuff. You do not see 2 complaints that are identical. Never, ever, ever. Doesn't exist. I don't know why our members and listeners think. Yeah, they always think it's, oh, what do I do? What did John do? None of that matters. You have to do what you have to do because your complaint says certain things. There's certain attachments to your complaint that wouldn't be on John's or mine or anybody else who's listening.
Right.
We don't know what they attach. We don't know what they're claiming. We don't know the interest rate they gave you. I don't know if you were at the beginning of the call, but I gave a perfect tactic with looking at the interest rates that they allege and claiming that they are usurious. So now you got to go to your state statutes, look to see the usury, and then see where they're at, where are they incorporated, and then start cross-referencing that stuff.
So
there's a million ways to skin that cat, but you got to learn to just skin the cat. You haven't even learned that yet. So you got to learn just to skin the cat first.
Right. So what kind of information, like in the website, you have title, credit card, debt consolidation and other things.
No, beating credit cards. Beating credit cards. That's the section that you want to be studying in.
Beating credit
and taking their money after that.
Taking their money, beating credit cards. That's where you want to go.
Right.
Okay, I will check that in. Thank you so much.
All right,
sweetheart. All right, you bet.
You have a great, great day.
All right, let's go to 773. Do you have some good news for us?
I have some good news. Hello, guys.
Hey,
what's
good
going
evening.
On,
that
buddy?
Sounds like a Rodney.
No, this is Wayne. This is Wayne. I talked to you guys last week. I had my wife on the phone.
The other driver.
I was
going
to say, you had
the
boss on the
best.
Phone, really?
That's right. Well, listen, guys, I was sharing with you guys last week about we got a lawsuit going against a law firm, debt collector out of Anaheim, California. We're suing him and the law firm for $30,000 with my wife.
Nice.
And they filed a motion for enlargement of time. We had it for last Tuesday. They didn't show up. So the judge, as you can remember, had granted them their days for February 14th. So we get home today, we get a phone call, recording message saying from the law firm saying that they're the attorneys who stepped in. And we looked at the paperwork and said, wait a minute, them the ones who were still in there who never showed up. And they said that they want to know about our settlement demand. They want to know about if we are interested in settling this matter. Because it seems like the way that I did the complaint drafted up, if he admit anything, he's in trouble. If he denies it, he's in trouble. Because he's not registered in the state of Illinois to as a debt collector or anything like that. In the state of Illinois, you must register your business. I don't care what you do. You must register with the state of Illinois, and he has done neither. So anyway,
so what is the penalty for that? What's the question? I just have a question. What's the penalty for him? Like in Florida, it's $5,000.
It's
what's the penalty there?
I think it's $7,500 if I'm not mistaken.
$7,500.
Okay, so isn't that
enough? Yeah, isn't that enough for you to just get the case dismissed right on its face, making the court aware that they can't even conduct business, let alone use the state's courts? Just on that.
Well,
we
sued them. We're the plaintiff.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So you're the plaintiff.
Yeah, we're the plaintiff.
Well, I think you could use what I just said to your benefit also.
I told them from the get-go this is a $30,000 case. It's $15,000 for each defendant. And the only way I told them that we're going to settle on anything when we talked to them before in the past, before, you know, when they introduced themselves, when they called us, is that I said we'll settle anywhere between $18,000 to $20,000. And right now I figured everything out. I said we're not going to settle for anything less than $19,100. If they don't answer this complaint by the 14th, I'm not going to negotiate anyway because they're going to owe us $30,000 plus.
Hey, Larry, I need your opinion on this. Do you not think that he can just move in and get a summary judgment because they if I'm not I just don't know Illinois, but I know Florida, they don't have use of our courts because they're not registered to do business in the state. So therefore they can't even come and defend themselves so they're registered in the state.
No, you can always defend yourself. You don't have to be registered to defend yourself.
You broke up, Larry.
You don't have to be registered to defend yourself.
It's only if you're on the plaintiff side, right, Larry?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you have use of the courts.
No, you're being dragged into the
court. But
you're being dragged into
the court. We drag them into court, though. We're the plaintiff.
Right.
They're the defendant.
Right.
I keep forgetting that.
They have the right to defend as a defendant. They don't have to be registered for that.
It seems like they're having a problem answering the complaint. When I put down those are very important for those who are listening too. Is when you're going after a debt collector and you're complaining against them, you definitely want to put that, especially if you check with your Secretary of State and find out that they're not registered in your state to as a debt collector, which is very important. Then you really got them right there because they take a frown on that because the state is looking to make money too. So that $7,500 would definitely go to the state. On their portion of it, but this guy act like he's afraid to answer the complaint because he knows if he admit anything on there that I have on there or deny it, he lost regardless.
Well, that's awesome. So what's the good news?
Well, the good news is that they called us today and they wanted to know about will we be interested in making some type of settlement negotiation. So I told my wife we're not going to call them back exactly today. We're going to let them sweat it just a little bit. So we'll call them back sometime tomorrow afternoon.
I like
there
that.
You go. Give them a little time to think
wait.
About it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want
their own poop.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, let them know you're real eager. That's,
right.
You know, just from a strategy standpoint. You're, that,
right.
You know, that's good. Yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump off,
awesome.
Guys, because I got some good stuff for some questions later on, big time. So I'm going to let us hurry and get through this good news stuff here, because I got some
good
stuff for later.
Yeah, let's hurry up, David, open this up, because it's getting late already. So
well,
let's get
I was just
kind of both
say,
we
well,
can, yeah.
All we got to do is figure out how to choke Jesse so he didn't talk so much. See, I can say that to him. I'm a long ways from him. He can't come up here and jump up and hit me in the knee. Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. For all of you people out there that have got questions, hit one on your keypad. Light it up because this is your time to do it right now. So we'll get started. Let's go to 708. Well, wait a minute. No, the board jumped on me there. I'm going to go back. We were going to go to 708. That's really interesting the way the board jumps sometimes. Okay, 708.
Hi, guys. Is that me?
Yeah, that is you.
And this is Rodney. How are you doing, everybody?
I recognize that, but then I thought about it, too. 708 is a Chicago area.
Right. As a matter of fact, I would love to network with that other gentleman if he's in Illinois. David, I believe, is his name, and his wife. Would love to get to talk with him.
Yeah.
But here are my questions, particularly for you, Jesse.
Yep.
I'm putting the finishing touches on my initial complaint for Bank of America foreclosure. And got a couple of quick questions here. I know you had stated before and on the webinars to list all the attorneys involved, not just the law firm. But
yeah,
the problem
babies,
is I can't
them, right.
make out their names. Most of them are just not legible enough. I might get a first name, but I definitely can't make out a last name.
I would
put
John Doe's down, and then during discovery, ask him to please identify everybody who signed this. So count, you know what I mean? You have like 10 of them; it'd be 10 John Doe's. You think, Larry, that would work?
Where exactly are you looking for their names?
I'm looking on the complaints and anything that I receive in the mail that has an actual.
Okay, have you gone to the firm's website?
No, I have not gone to their website.
Ooh,
well, there you go. They're their names.
First stop. Yep.
Okay.
That's your first stop, right?
Yeah,
there.
But he still has to make them out, though. Well, I think he's saying is he can't make them out. Am I right here in saying that with you? Or
yeah.
No?
The first name is pretty clear, but the last name is just typically a.
Well, then, then you can do what Larry just said. Go to the website because you can, you know, make out first names, and match that up.
Yeah. If
that's
there's
easy.
Only
yeah, you'll
one
be able, yeah.
names there. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and if
Thomas.
There's any. Yeah, if there's any doubt, just list all the names you can find unless you're sure they're not there and, you know, let them sort it out.
Okay, fair enough. Then second point is on my initial complaint going conditions proceeding, should I list the credit reporting agencies as well, or do I just keep this simple?
What do you mean conditions proceeding?
Well, I'm following the webinar and the suggestions of Jesse. I've gone through it twice, and I've already typed up everything that I think really pertains to me, using that as my guide. But I also know that they have damaged my credit. I've got credit denial letters. So I'm thinking about expanding this to not just list Bank of America and Pearson Associates, but the individual credit reporting agencies as well.
Okay, I'm just confused about your use of the term conditions. Because that's typically used for somebody foreclosing on you. I just want to be careful of terms you use and make sure they're absolutely clear.
Yes. Well,
so,
Bank of America is foreclosing on me.
Yeah.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with credit reporting agencies and conditions preceding.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of why I'm asking the question. So should that
be? Yeah. Don't
okay. Yeah, it's just really important to clarify language and make sure you're not, you know, mixing and matching terms that don't apply.
I understand that.
Yeah, whether or not you sue the credit reporting agency, that's purely a judgment call. My guess is it's probably more trouble than it's worth at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. I would do that later because it's overwhelming. Larry knows.
Yeah, you don't want to take too big a bite of that elephant until your belly's big enough.
That's right.
That's right.
All right.
And let me tell you, when you are trying to bite those credit reporting agencies, Larry will tell you, you've unleashed the werewolf.
Yeah.
They don't play.
The big
ones. They do not play. They do not play. Those are big boys.
Okay.
So just that's something you better be fine-tuned to handle.
Okay.
They do not screw around.
Wait a little bit
until
I get more meat under my belt.
Yeah, it's not that you can't win against them, but you better be more prepared for a big fight.
Yeah.
Okay. So then here's a general question. In terms of initial exhibits for my conditions preceding complaint, should I be including my copy of the note as well as at least one version
again,
of
it? Again, that's how can anybody make that determination? Only
okay.
You have what you're looking at. Nobody else does.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I do. It does.
So, yeah, only you have that. We don't have that. I would have no idea.
Then there's another general question. On the website, there's some supporting reference documents, and one that I just read today was defining affidavits, and one of the strategies were to issue your own affidavit disputing the phony one that Bank of America has submitted. Has anyone done that, or is that a good strategy?
It's all you're doing is refuting it.
Yeah.
So if it's not true, then by all means do it.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know
an affidavit
I mean?
Stands as truth unless it's rebutted.
Exactly.
That's right.
Point. Okay.
So if you say it and they say it, well, who's saying the truth here? See,
okay.
That's to be decided at trial.
Okay.
Then there is a question of material fact before the court, is there not?
Yeah, absolutely.
A big
ooh,
one.
Ooh, do you think that might stop a summary judgment somewhere along the way?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
here you go.
All right. Well, my other questions would have been for LexisNexis and Safeco, but it involved pretty much the same thing. Do I amend, which would be the fourth time for both cases, to add in the CRAs? But I've just decided, listening to you guys, I'm not going to tackle that beast right now.
No, don't tackle the beast. You don't have the – I'm telling you, you don't have the belly for it, Bubba.
Okay.
Not even close.
All right.
So trust me, I haven't sued them yet. And I've been into this for a long time. I do have a pretty good lawsuit coming against them, but I personally have not went after them yet because I'm not ready.
Me neither.
I'm in the same position that Jesse is in. I've got a suit coming up that I've got to file by May.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to get ready for that as well.
Now, here's my final question.
You just jump in.
Here's my final question. I'm pretty much wrapped up on LexisNexis. I'm waiting on a judgment ruling in the mail. But since then, utilizing CFPB, I've gone after LexisNexis for a reinvestigation, which they've just concluded and sent me a letter in the mail. I think I mentioned to you guys about 2 weeks ago, where they did not answer any of my discovery questions, if you will, but they did state that due to age that they removed the countrywide inquiry upon which both LexisNexis defenses based on and Safeco. How do I, or even do I need to, get that into evidence at this point without having to amend the complaint?
What good does it do you to put it in?
I was under the impression or thinking my strategy was that just gives one more piece of evidence to the court that there is no permissible purpose. Here's the result.
Well, if it was taken out on a time basis, it wasn't taken out for another purpose that would be relevant to your action.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Can you repeat that?
Well, the stuff stays on there for 2 years, and then they take it off. If it was taken off because it was improper,
mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But if it was taken off because of the time limitations, that doesn't give you any indication that there was something improper.
Doesn't establish anything.
So it wouldn't. I don't see any benefit to.
Okay.
To it, you bringing that in.
Yeah, that's me making the assumption. Then I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, well you just got to look at the reason. Just look at the exact reason why it was taken out. It wasn't because there was a problem or a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It was just taken off because that's policy, you know, and the way they operate 2 years, and then they drop it off.
Okay.
So that's got nothing to do with your allegations.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll wait it out for the judge's ruling on LexisNexis and push for the 26F for Safeco. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Keep at them. All right. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to 850. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes,
good
we
evening.
Can.
This question is for Jesse, if possible. Jesse, I received a letter on behalf of my mother who supposedly had a loan. She's been passed for 4 years, and I'm the executor of her estate, and she had a living trust, so there was no probate. My question to you is about in October, I didn't receive it in my name. It was in her name at her address at the time, and it's from HCB Financial, and the amount is for the principal amount is for $95,000. The balance is $40,000. And I nor my sister have ever seen anything in her personal effects that had this. And my question to you is, and I have not yet called.
Yeah, what is it for? That's a lot of money.
I have
what
no idea. And it doesn't say it's a debt collector. And there was my sister was making the writing checks for her for the last 2 years of her life, and she said, I don't know what this is. And my mother would never take out that kind of a loan.
Yeah, I saw the bill, Jesse, and there's an itemization month by month of added charges, legal charges, this, that, and the other thing, but nothing to identify what the original loan was for or what type of loan it was, nothing. It's just an itemized bill from this HCB financial.
Yeah, we'll do a notice of dispute and be done with it.
Yeah,
so what's
probably
it about?
A mistaken identity, but you need to do a validation.
So do a validation on her behalf?
Absolutely. Well, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, you can just send out a notice of dispute. You're the executor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you got the steering wheel, or you can drive your way wherever you want to go. You're the executor. I would do that personally. I would absolutely do that.
Okay, so in that regard, if they come back and say whatever, do I handle it as if it was mine then? I mean, if there's phony shenanigans here, can I sue them?
I don't know if you can sue them, but if they're acting stupid, I definitely
would.
You're talking to the wrong guy about that, because you know me.
Let me throw something in here. If you are the executor and you sued, you'd be suing as the executor, and I believe you'd have to have an attorney. Would that be correct, Larry?
That sounds right.
I think she'd have to anyway because of the trust, wouldn't she?
Yes, it's not a person. That's my point.
Yeah.
I said you're talking to the wrong guy. If they started any shenanigans, I would sue them at the drop of a hat. So,
Jesse.
Huh?
I do just for fun, and I'm not advocating you do this, and it's entirely your choice, but I would tell them that I'm responsible for all my mother's debts now.
Get off the bait, Larry. Get off the bait. Oh, Jesus.
And then
you're
ask him if
you know what, Larry?
Yeah, I know. I really am.
Can I get that in writing, Larry?
And ask I personally owe them any money, because if you do, you'd be happy to, send them a check.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Exactly what I would tell
them. See, and that's Larry's idea of going to Chuck E. Cheese. It's no different. That's fun to Larry,
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. You're walking in your shoes. All right.
I'll
well,
for strategy, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right.
Appreciate it. I do have one more thing. The lady that was on the phone earlier with J.B. Nutter, is there any way I can get a hold of her?
You guys that are members, just listen. Go to the website and post up something saying, hey, listen, I'd like to meet, so-and-so, whatever. It's simple,
okay,
guys.
Okay.
That's what the forum is for. So share your information there. Remember, just no personal phone numbers. You do that outside the forum. So we don't want
no that's,
perverts
that's
or something getting people's
numbers. You can PM between each other.
Yeah.
A private message.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help, and thank you kindly. And thank you, Terry and Dave, also.
Okay.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, and thanks for causing us to have a really good laugh.
Yes, that was,
that was good. All right. Okay, let's go to 281. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
If you have a philosophy, there are no dumb questions. You're about to reverse yourself.
Well, let's hear it.
I love that
Come on.
Statement.
I was wondering if once a credit card, or not a credit card, a collection agency sues you. Oh, let me explain the situation. I got sued. I went and showed up, and I lost, and that was in JP court. So I filed to get a new trial at the upper level court. Now, since the first suit and this new suit, the statute of limitations has run, but because they sued me, does that mean it's as if the statute didn't end? Did the suit renew the statute, in other words?
I am too.
What statute are you referring to, though?
The statute of limitations where they can't collect because it's been 4 years.
Well,
the suit can't renew anything.
Yeah, you would be the one that would restart it by doing something, making a payment or something.
No, I've not made a payment. I got sued. I lost in JP court. I filed.
Well, hang on a second. We need some clarification because you threw some information out, but we are confused. When did you get sued?
Last year. I don't know when I got sued. I just know that the date of the hearing was in June of last year.
So you never got served?
I never got what?
Served?
Yes, I did get served.
Okay.
You said
you
didn't know when you got sued. I'm just trying to get clarity here.
Yeah, I don't know when I got the papers. I just know that the hearing was in June.
Okay, so you know for sure you got served, though.
Yes, I did get served.
Okay. Dave, I just want to make sure that that's clear. That's all about
it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, was the trial in June?
Yes.
Is that when the judgment was made?
Yes.
Okay.
And the statute would have run out in November had I not been sued. And I'm just wondering,
okay,
does it still run out, and can I use that in...
Well, they sued you and got a judgment within the statute of limitations.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, if they had done it after November, then there would be a problem for them, and that'd be good for you. But the fact that they did it before it ran out and they got a judgment, then there's not a whole lot you can do there. If you were, you know, if you hadn't been served properly, you could go back and see about doing a void judgment. But if you showed up in court, you argued it, and you lost, it's considered res judicata now. And unless there was some other major compelling situation, you're kind of stuck with it, unfortunately.
Okay. That was my only question.
Okay. Sorry I couldn't give you better news.
That's okay. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. All right. Let's go to 424. You've been unmuted. 424. Well, wait a second. Come on. I'll try it again. 424.
Hello, Tefty.
There you go. We're hearing you.
Oh, okay. All right. This is some guy in Las Vegas. How you guys doing?
How you doing,
Hi,
buddy?
Some guy.
Everybody in Las Vegas is some guy. That's my hometown, man.
All righty. Listen, I was talking to you guys last week, and I was talking about a friend of mine in Tennessee that had received a summons to go to court on the 29th of January. And I suggested that he probably wanted to do a validation letter to him, and I suggested, even since he had some cell phone calls there, to even suing him. So he was in touch with an attorney, and, you know, I said, well, a lot of times attorneys want to basically negotiate deals. Now, this guy had a collection agency called him, threatened to take him to court and put a judgment on him. So he started making payments to the collection agency. The bill with the original creditor was about $1,600. He ended up paying about $1,200 to the collection agency, and the collection agency, well, he didn't like the way they were handling things, and so he contacted the original creditor and paid them about $300.
Right.
So anyway, to make a long story short, he's out about $1,500, and he was getting sued for about $3,000. So he goes to court on the 29th. Come to find out, his court date was the week before. Now, and I saw the summons. The summons was for the 29th. And so I told him right away, I said, look, I think you can do a motion to vacate judgment or void judgment or something. Talk to the attorney. And I think I might have lost a friend because he acted like, you know what, I've been getting some bad advice from you. I'm not even going to listen to you anymore. It's like, oh, man.
Well, that's his
remember,
problem.
Listen, I have a very simple statement that's going to might hurt somebody's feelings on this phone call, and it might not. If you're smart, you'll take it for what it is. You cannot fix stupid. That is a permanent disability. But you can fix the ignorant. Because ignorance
right.
just means you don't know. So it sounds to me like your buddy's just stupid.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it's just the way it is. You cannot fix stupid, and it's not your job to fix stupid. But if somebody's ignorant, you can help them and say, listen, this is what you need to learn so you're not ignorant of these facts.
You know, I sent him information on all the violations that I could come up, things he could sue with. I said, run these by your lawyer. And all he
yeah,
said,
well,
the lawyer said he'd negotiate a settlement.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem. He's got a lawyer.
Yeah.
And you know, our membership knows more about debt collection than most debt collection lawyers do.
Yeah.
On the defense side and the other side. So you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know
because
both.
We study
Dave,
the
right.
law. Yeah, we study the law and know what it means, and they study procedure, and it's all, well, yeah, just settle or do this. You know, they don't really understand the law, and so it's
nope.
tough to get by them.
Yep, yep. And don't forget something else, that over years, these attorneys that do debt collection have never been challenged, and they've had the
right.
court help them just rubber stamp all this stuff.
Right,
so comes
right.
along a pro se who's slamming them in the head like we did today, and they don't know what angle to go with. Because it wasn't just the attorney. You have another guy here for 6 years working together to find solutions and strategies. So it's not just an attorney. It's a group of people. And when a group of people get together, all kinds of wonderful things can happen. And that's what makes our site, I think, in our community so wonderful, because we should be able to bounce ideas, both negative and successful, off each other and learn. So, you know, they're not ready for you. They're not ready for Dave. They're not ready for Larry. They're not ready for me because they're used to just walking in. Some idiot doesn't show up or doesn't know what the hell to say. And then I say, you know, you're in the hallway paying the guy. That's how they're used to operating. You know, and
I agree with you. And the main thing is there's no one of us as smart as all of us. So all of us
no,
our heads
that,
together,
exactly.
you've got to be a genius.
That's right.
Yeah.
Collective
yep.
effort.
Exactly.
Yep.
And boy, is it good, let me tell you.
Yep. I like it. All
yeah,
right.
Me too.
Well, that take care of you? Because we got a lot of people in the queue tonight, so I'm going to have to keep everybody moving.
Wow. Cool.
Yes. Yeah,
all right.
We
I'll
got
go
a lot of people
the
in here. So. All righty. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay. We are going to go to evidently an internet caller because it's all ones, ones, ones. If you were just unmuted, you're up to bat. Go ahead, please.
Hey, greetings, guys. How y'all doing?
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Jesse, it was great news about the case, so congratulations on that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. We spoke yesterday. I had other questions, but something that Jesse mentioned actually struck me, something that we talked about on the call yesterday, where I said I was putting a case on capacity, and I think it was either John or Larry. I'm not sure who was speaking.
It would have been John yesterday.
It was John. Okay. Yeah, he said don't even worry about that. Just do the motion to compel. And then I heard Jesse say, well, if they don't have the capacity to then just get the whole thing dismissed. So I was like, that's
kind of interesting. Remember, capacity and standing are pretty much the same thing.
Just, right.
There's different definitions, but you can, you attack standing. That's how we won today, is no matter what they would have done, they'd have lacked standing at the inception of the case. So that's what I mean by that. I understand that. And if that's not clear, okay, then I'm sorry. But that's what we mean by it. So you have to go after that standing. If they don't have it, they don't have it. Standing is something you can acquire after you file the suit. You have to have it at the time of filing the suit.
Right. Well, I was putting in capacity and standing. So let me review that then. What I was saying was
go look on the website, and there's explanations of both on the website. Mm-hmm. I've done a pretty good outline on capacity and standing in the taking their home or saving your home section.
Well, no, I got that part. I reviewed it pretty well. But when I say review, let me review what I was saying last night, which was I think John said, just file the case in the federal and do a motion to compel, because they haven't answered the notice of dispute or the interrogatories. It's been past 30 days, and leave it at that. Or should I go after standing and say, hey, they don't have standing, they're a substitute trustees of a Texas corporation that's now registered to do business in the state of Maryland?
Well, wait a minute. Wouldn't they go hand in hand, but in two separate courts?
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. He's got
a state action and a federal action going, Jesse.
That's what I'm saying. When they go hand in hand in separate courts.
Yep.
Okay.
Not having the capacity, not having the authority to even do business in the state of Maryland, and you're coming over here as a debt collector, that's enough to get me to the federal court.
Exactly.
For the same reasons, it's enough to eradicate you from the lower levels, right, from the state court.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's great both. Good stuff.
Okay. So now following both, I said I would just do the motion to compel and then file the
Compel. What's that for, John? I have no idea what he's talking about. Motion to compel.
Here's the deal. In his state case, he put discovery on the other party. They failed to answer. I said, dude, you got to do a motion to compel, and then you've got to do a motion for hearing to get it heard. But in the meantime, you want to get your federal case going for FDCPA only, or FDCPA plus your state action for FDCPA.
You want
to get that going, because the discovery you can do in federal court, they're not going to be able to evade. You're going to get in there, and they're going to give you discovery when you compel it there, where in the Mickey Mouse state court, they can give you the runaround. So he needs to get going on the federal, but he needs to still track the ball in the state court and go after them. So then if nothing else, if they slam through something on you, you can go and appeal it because you were denied due process. You put a motion in, you called for a hearing, judge didn't give you a hearing. What the hell is going on there, you know?
That's right.
All right. Okay, I got that. That's clear. Thank you very much. I have another case that I'm working on, and I'm appealing it. There was a judgment, and so I was on the site, and I saw the in-camera review.
In-camera review, yeah.
Right, and I was wondering. Let me switch that up. The motion to compel had the in-camera review, and I'm saying,
should I include the motion to compel or in the alternative?
Alternative, in-camera review.
They're not together. It's one or the other, and that's what you present. Okay. That's what I presented to the court as an example.
Okay. Yes, and that's what I was going through. Okay, so I was saying I haven't seen anything about the effectiveness of that in order to compel the
it makes them crap their pants.
Okay.
Do you know what a motion for in camera review is?
Yeah, a private session with the judge, that's right.
They don't want that. They don't want the judge looking at your discovery.
Okay. All right, perfect.
And their lies and their, sneakiness, and they don't want that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, and then my appeal that I'm doing is I was looking for the correct language as I was going through it. Reverse judgment, vacate, summary judgment. Which have you found is the most effective? There are several different ways to phrase it. That was kind of
Well, in an appeal, you're not asking them to reverse anything. You're pointing out where the judge screwed up. It's up to them to come back and say, we're reversing and remanding. All you're doing is pointing out the deficiencies in the court, saying, hey, listen, the judge screwed up here, here, and here.
Okay.
The law says this, this, and this, and here's the cases to prove this, this, and this. The rest is up to them to do their job.
Okay. Perfect.
That's why you have briefs and, you know, you have all your stuff. You're looking at saying, Judge Dave Mack, you're screwed up here, 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 and here, and didn't apply the law correctly here, here, here. Right? And then here's the case history, or here's the rules that support that, number one. And then number two, here's all the case history that goes with it.
Okay.
Yeah, people, when they do appeals, have to keep in mind that you're not going and arguing anything in your case. You're always arguing the errors of the court below.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your case. I know people just go, huh? It's, no, no, no. It's misapplication of the law is what you're arguing.
Okay, okay. All right.
Or the rules or however you want to deem it. But.
And do I need to ask for a hearing? Do I need to ask for another hearing, or they do that automatically?
No, no, no. When you appeal it, have you read your appellate rules in your state? You have to read them.
I was going through it today, but I just for clarification.
Yeah, I can't tell you. Your state, every state's different. So you're going to have to look at your rules and then apply what you've learned there to your particular appeal. Florida's a pretty simple one, but still, is there steps that got to be done, time frames, you know, documents that have to be transferred from the lower court, transmitted, as they say, to the appellate court by the clerk here, and they transmit the whole file up there, and it costs you $300 or whatever it is anymore. I don't even remember. You know, so there's certain things that got to be done, and they got to be done within time. You got to file your notice within 10 days or 30 days.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to talk to your clerks and ask them the questions about procedure, because you're not asking them any legal questions. You're asking about the proper procedure to make sure you get your appeal done properly.
Okay, perfect. Right.
That's the way you want to put it to them. When you go and talk to them, explain to them, you know, I've got some procedural questions for you. I want to make sure I do things right. What you do is you plant a seed when you say that. It's like, wow, here's a pro se that actually wants to do things right instead of being a bull in a china shop. And chances are, there's not a guarantee, but chances are they're going to be a little more helpful to you.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All righty, thank you. Okay, let's go to 845. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, this is John from New York, living down in Florida. Down, I'm the one with the Chase Manhattan where they served my ex-wife, but they didn't serve me. Good news there, we haven't heard anything since the filing of the motion for enlargement of time and the notice of dispute. So we take that as good news.
Good stuff.
So far nothing. I checked the court dockets. You can only, for New York State, you can only look at the weekly calendar one at a time unless there's someplace else to search on the case number. But I don't see anything, you know, up on the calendar for them. And they haven't served. The court had notified my ex-wife that they received her notice of dispute and a motion for enlargement of time. That's all they've done. So the lawyer's office has not replied to them, which, again, that's apparently good news. The question I have, it doesn't pertain to that. This pertains to a lawsuit that's a class action in the state of Michigan for all those people that ever dealt with Experian. I don't know if you guys are aware of this.
No.
And apparently, I guess there was a 750,000 member suit in California or Nevada. There was a settlement. But you look at the number of people, and what, each person gets like $70. Now, they obviously, I have situations where there's been incorrect information put on my credit report. I've disputed those things. I've challenged them. And, of course, they've come back and said, well, yeah, we verified them. And I said, well, I didn't ask you to verify them. I asked you to validate them. Of course, they don't do that. So at this point, I don't know that I want to file with the class action, but what I also don't want is if I sue against Experian independently, will they lump me in with this suit that's happening, you know, for these Michigan
No, if you are part of that and you receive that and you don't opt out, then you're stuck.
Well, it was actually – if I don't opt out, I'm stuck.
Yeah, so you have to reply to them saying, I'm opting out, so you can go handle your own business.
Well, what
is it the
do?
Same
next,
set of facts?
It was a law firm that contacted me. It wasn't the court. It said that we have information that you had dealings with, I don't know how they got this, that I had dealings with Experian or that I filed some paperwork, and they said, we want to know if we can represent you. So I don't know that I have anything to opt out with, because if I don't sign and send this paper back with to this law firm.
Okay. So they didn't, you're now, are you sure you're not, they don't have an opt-out a function or something you can opt-out? You know what I mean by that, Larry? Have you ever seen those? You there? Who's there?
I'm here.
What happened to Larry? Did he maybe get disconnected or something?
I don't know. But anyway, you understand what I mean, right?
Okay. Yeah, and I don't.
Look at the little card.
Yeah. They did send me some paperwork, and I read it quick, and it was all this about if they win, I pay them, but if I don't, and then there was some fine print about that I might be liable for some charges, and I thought, there's no way I want some guys that don't know, you know, the specifics of my case and, you know, what I want to do. And,
yeah,
and
that's
that
why
I
you have to opt out. Make sure you look
okay.
at it. Just look at it.
All right, I'll look at that. Okay.
That's the best I could tell you to do.
Yeah, okay. And in this case, again, I think I talked with you guys about this, that I, from what I checked in the state of New York, there was a certain 120 days they had to serve me. And you said potentially they could do something where they try and serve by a notification in the mail or in the newspaper or something like this. Yeah, publication.
Yeah, publication, right.
Well, I'm not in the area. I mean, I live in Michigan, but I'm working in Florida right here in West Palm Beach now. But,
yeah.
So I would never get a notification like that, obviously, not even being in the state of New York. So don't know how that would apply to me, or does that give them blanket privilege and to move ahead without me?
Is this in a foreclosure?
Yeah, it's foreclosure for the home in New York.
Yeah, well, they're gonna do it by publication most probably, and then you just don't appear, and they just keep going forward with it.
Okay, at that point, if obviously if they attempt to foreclose or begin to foreclose, then I have a cause of action against them, so that they're foreclosing without communication with me, correct? I mean, they don't have standing either. I mean, they don't hold. This is a chase. They don't hold the correct assignment, and you know they don't have the Milton mortgage. I asked them for
it. Yeah, but you have to challenge them on that if you're going to deal with that, and you can't just hide from a process server and think things go away. They're going to forge forward, but you can attach them in federal court. You can attack them, but you're going to have to send a debt validation letter or something to give you the opening to go after them.
Right. Well, I did. I did a qualified written request from them over a year ago. It was almost a year to the day where I heard nothing. You know, they responded initially and said, we gave you everything. And then, of course, then they say, well, we can't give you some of the documents. They don't exist or we don't have them.
But
and
there's
so,
a difference between dispute and debt validation letter and a qualified written request.
And if you want to really dance with
these people, you know, you can send that law firm a debt validation letter too, and bring them into federal court, the law firm that's doing the foreclosure action. But you know, then you're going to have to pop up where you're located so that you can receive the mail back.
Right. Well, I did actually when I did a qualified written request, I also sent them a debt validation letter. I sent them both at that time.
And has that been over a year?
Yes.
Well, you'll look at statute of limitation on that. But if they continued to collect, if the action to collect was later, the service of a summons and a complaint is not considered a FDCPA violation. It's other communications that go with that or subsequent communications. But legal pleadings are necessarily something that triggers it like a letter. But the Seventh Circuit did find that a foreclosure action is a debt collection action. So you got to look for the fine point of what's going to be in your complaint. So they don't do the motion specific in it.
Well, they do.
Are
I
you
have
a member?
That. Yeah, I remember. And I've been, you know, it was almost a year to the date that they started this way back then. And that's when I started sending all the written requests, you know, disputing the debt and all that with everybody whose name ended up on that. of those claims. But this, you know, the lawyers in their firm in New York were attempting to collect the data on behalf of Chase, so on and so forth. Sent all that stuff out to everybody and their brother. And what they came back with, and I sent it again because I said, you didn't provide me everything I asked for. I asked you for validation of the debt, not verification. And then they responded by saying, well, we don't have some documents that you're asking for are not available, or we don't get have them. And then that was like maybe February, March. I didn't hear anything until almost a year to the day, like December, right around December, Christmas time, a year later, then that was the summons that they're going to, you know, proceed in court with foreclosure. And then we just recently did the notice of dispute again to them and the court and enlargement of time. And we've hadn't heard anything. Now, I say we, I'm helping my ex-wife on behalf of this just because they tried to serve me and I wasn't there. Couldn't get it. I wasn't in Michigan. I wasn't in New York. I was in Florida. So I don't know if I should jump in and say, yeah, serve me because then I want to sue you, or do I not and lay back and wait? That's my option.
Well, you know, you can't lay back and wait and you can't hide. You're in a different jurisdiction. If you're going to defend the thing, you got to go up there and deal with it up there. But if it was me, I'd be suing them from where you are in West Palm Beach, Florida, in federal court. I'd be suing them, and your wife, if she was smart, she'd be suing them in federal court, too, because you guys asked for validation and they didn't give it.
Right.
And then she can fight the foreclosure up there, but you do them both in tandem. And they'd be really happy having to deal with a federal case in Florida, a federal case in New York, and, you know, pursuing their foreclosure in New York. And Attorney General Snyderman or whoever, whatever his name is up there, I mean, they've been all over debt collectors and debt collector attorneys and stuff.
In New York.
Yeah, they'd be all over them, and you probably might be able to grind that thing to a halt. And there's something we've been looking up about qualified mortgages. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau put new protections in place, I think it was January 15th or so, that had to do with, what was it, Jesse, qualified mortgages. And you can file a bunch of crap into your lawsuit if you do your research, and it's going to grind them to a halt where you challenge everything, and they're going to have to prove up before they go forward. And that's just starting to kick in courts across the country.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So you got your work cut out, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Start an action in federal court down here then. Get the ball rolling on these guys.
There you go.
Okay. Right. We got to keep moving on here, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you. All right. Let's go to 918. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Great. My name's Leslie, and my case is in Oklahoma.
Hi, Leslie.
My current question is that can the current plaintiff ask
what
her
kind
to
of case
sign?
Is it?
I'm sorry, foreclosure.
Okay.
So can the current plaintiff, after it assigns interest to another party, direct the court to substitute the new interested party, or does the request need to come from the new party?
I have no idea. You have to check your rules.
Because I have right now a motion to substitute plaintiff. And the request is coming from the current plaintiff saying, we no longer have an interest in this case. This is the new party we've assigned our interest to, so substitute them as the plaintiff.
Yeah, you're going to have to definitely look at your rules. Because here they can substitute plaintiff, no problem. The attorneys haven't learned to challenge that, I think, correctly in foreclosure, specifically because of the Florida statutes. The Helping Families Save Their Homes Act, that changed those requirements. And then our rules.
559.
So the rules, see, that's right. The rules allow it. The Florida rules of civil procedure allow it. The Florida statutes and requirements don't allow it. They conflict. And the federal laws conflict.
Okay. Now, my next question in regards to that is that I had an attorney at the time that this happened. They substituted the plaintiff 9 days prior to trial.
Well, that's that's unfair to the defendant, isn't it?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah, to the defendant.
Yeah, you can't. It's like today. They show up with a witness. They had 11 people on the witness list. They show up with a witness that wasn't on the witness list. We spent $7,500 to depose 11 people that we could never find. You
right.
follow me? So it's
exactly.
the same for you. We have the right. That's called due process. I have the right to depose this witness. You don't have the right to show up at trial or 5 days before
right.
a trial or whatever and try to change it out. That's all.
Okay, so now what happened is in the course of this is that they substitute the plaintiff, you know, like I said, 9 days prior to trial, actually 8 days prior to trial. My attorney contacts opposing and says, really, are you kidding? And they're like, yeah. So they did a motion to continue it to February 19th, which is where I'm still standing now. And in that time, my attorney says, I'm not a trial attorney. I can't help you with attorneys. So the motion for substituting the plaintiff is still sitting there, and the judge hasn't ruled, even with, you know, no
well,
response.
Well, did you do something to do an opposition?
No, and that's what I'm saying is that even though my time has passed that's to respond has passed, but the judge hasn't ruled, so can I still bring in an objection to the substitution of plaintiff?
I would.
So would I.
Absolutely would. Hell yeah, man, in a minute.
And if they give you a hard time, say that it was an error on the part of your attorney and you're finding a new
yeah.
attorney, you know, the guy just told you that he's incapable of doing his job and, you know,
yeah.
you're beside yourself and now you're aware and you're endeavoring and you want to have a continuance again. And in your objection, you want to look at why they're doing a substitution of plaintiff now. You want to find out why the substitution took place, when it was transferred in interest from one party to the other, and if it was after a default was in place, you know, what was the value that it was transferred for? Because that would be the most
It is after the
really
default. It
for.
Was, yeah, the assignment, it is after the default. I mean, and the assignment is in August, and they didn't, the assignment to the new plaintiff is in August, and they didn't alert the court of the substitution of plaintiff until the 8 days prior to trial. So
yeah,
I mean,
who's ever going to pay full value for anything when it's in default? So you know they paid less than that, and you know you're in a
right.
situation where you can negotiate down or renegotiate or retool. But in the meantime, have you filed a federal lawsuit against them?
No, I'm just been, you know, pulled up to the curb. I was doing this all by myself pro se, and then I found an attorney that was really working with and helping and so forth, but I won't get into all of that because, I mean, I have also 9 counts of major infractions for the judge to be recused for denying me due process, fraudulent, so on. We won't go there, but in the essence of time here. My next question would be is that with the objection of the substitution of plaintiff and then with the substitution of plaintiff, even if they allow it, does that not evoke new discovery starting from the beginning?
I would ask
that's the whole,
for it.
Yeah, that's what we just said. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to ask for everything every step of the way.
Okay. Because even to the date before they did the plaintiff, they were ordered by the court a motion to compel for the plaintiff to provide because they still had not their W&E only included the witness list to say a corporate representative care of the attorney firm. So my attorney said, I need a name and an address and a phone number so I can depose this witness. And they were motion to compel to provide that. And to this date, they still have not provided a name of the witness that's supposed to testify to all of the documentation and its validity. So, I mean, I know it's a giant mess, and I'm just trying to figure out my best direction to get.
So what's your specific question there? Because we got to keep moving here. I'm sorry to be short, but we've got a bunch of people yet, and we're running low. What
okay,
specifically
I just needed to know if that. I just needed to know if that if the substitution is granted, does that invoke new discovery time frame?
No.
Not automatically. You'd have to ask for more time. You got a whole new party involved, and you got to have time to do discovery as a result of the court's ruling. That's how you got to make your arguments.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Sure. Okay.
Always remember, if you remain silent, things will just keep right on going without you. Silence is acquiescence. Okay, let's go to 312. 312, you have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. We got to keep things moving here tonight. 312. Now, doggone it.
Hello?
Hello? Hold on here. Hold on here.
Hello?
We're going to 312.
Is that me?
The screen jumped here. Sorry, everybody. Okay, 312.
Is that me?
You're the one that's talking to us. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Misha from Chicago, and I'm calling you because I have a foreclosure case that I've been working on now for a little while. I'm doing it pro se. I just kind of learn things as I'm rolling along. But at any rate, in August, I got a default judgment entered against me. Filed a notice of interlocutory appeal. I filed it timely. I filed a vacate motion in state court, and everything got denied in November. And I know that I did it wrong. I didn't do, like, a motion to request leave to do the vacate, but at any rate, you know, it got denied. So then the judge ordered that I could not file anything else in any state court action, and he ordered that I could not file anything in the Recorder of Deeds office. So I really don't know how to deal with that.
You need to take that up to the I don't know what boards they have there where you're at, but you could take it to, like, the Judicial Review Board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was the reasoning behind making that ruling? I'm assuming you probably filed a bunch of paperwork into the courts.
I did. I filed a motion to vacate. I filed, you know, I was looking at some things on some of these people that you guys say don't do, and I filed a press appeal.
The administrative stuff.
Administrative. Yep.
Yeah, I did that because,
oh,
you know, I
no.
noticed that the attorney was acting as the agent and counsel, and they did some tricky things, like with the 30 days on the summons. So I answered within 30 days, and they did. They filed an affidavit of service that was different from the actual date of service. But at any rate, I filed a BK, and they kept on moving forward. They actually had a hearing that I wasn't aware of until after it was heard. I did actually file my federal complaint. I finally got it done and filed it into federal court last week, actually. So I did that, but they did a motion to confirm the sale, and they have a hearing coming up in March. And I'm just not really sure what to do in the state court.
Well, if they have deemed you a vexatious litigator and blocked you, you got a mountain to climb.
So
and
should I just focus on my federal court?
I don't know. What's your thoughts on that, Jesse?
Like I said, I would take it to the Judicial Review Board and bring it up and ask them why. How can you deny me of due process? That's what you're basically saying.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And then to stop the
foreclosure, you can only file a bankruptcy to kill it. You know, I mean, other than that, I don't know what else.
I did the bankruptcy. They kept going. Even though I did the bankruptcy, they did the sale. I filed the bankruptcy around November 23rd. They did the sale on November 26th and continued it through December 16th.
Well, you have to take them to the federal courts then, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I did do the FTCPA
You might be kicked out. Well, listen to me. You might be kicked out of the state courts, but I don't think they'll prohibit you in the federal courts, right?
Right.
That's a very good lawsuit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you talk to the trustee about the fact that they were proceeding?
No, I didn't talk to the bank. When you say trustee, are you referring to the
bankruptcy trustee? the bankruptcy.
No, I didn't. I dropped the bankruptcy because I just did a 13 to kind of.
Okay, well, you didn't. Yeah. That gives us more information. See, we're only getting bits and pieces here. That's what makes it difficult to help you on that. But yeah, I would follow what Jesse said. Yeah, but unfortunately, you've learned a hard lesson with that administrative stuff, have you not?
Oh yeah, I learned a hard lesson with that. But I mean, they actually did my whole. They foreclosed on a single family ranch house as a commercial property. Like the whole thing, the paperwork, everything, they sent me an appraisal. It's a single-family house. But they misrepresented to the court all along the way that this is a commercial property.
Maybe it's zoned commercial?
It's not zoned commercial. It's only single-family houses in the neighborhood.
Okay. There's a lot of fishy stuff there.
Yeah, there is.
But yeah, go after them in the federal court and, like Jesse said, judicial review board and see what you can do about getting that other situation in the state court fixed so that you can possibly do something there. But right now, the only arena you've got to operate in is federal at the moment.
That's right.
And don't waste any time doing it. That's what I would suggest. Okay?
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you very much. Okay. We got to keep rock and rolling here, boy. We have a lot of people jump in tonight. Let's go to 773. Have we covered you yet?
Oh.
Let's try. There we go.
Hello?
773.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, we can
okay,
hear you.
Great. Okay. Whew, I was waiting here. I had to make sure I wasn't losing track here. Yeah, I was just listening to the young lady who just called in. I'm in Chicago also. These judges in Chicago is a joke, believe me. But I just want to say this real quick before I jump into mine real quick. With her adversary, she want to do an adversary proceeding on that Chapter 13 and focus on the proof of claim. I have many of my friends here with that, and it works. And all that stuff that was done in state court is stopped because now it's in the federal level. But she definitely want to focus on that Chapter 13 proof of claim. And now that's when you're going to really start rattling their tail. But even in Chicago, guys, they don't even recognize MERS or none of that stuff. This is a corrupt town when it comes to foreclosures. You know, when I listened to Jesse earlier talking about his accomplishment today of getting his house free and clear, you know, it's amazing. I'm going to have to come down and rent your house, you know, because we're snoring like crazy down here. This is snow town. But anyway, I definitely would tell her to definitely focus on that adversary proceeding on that Chapter 13 proof of claim because I see a lot of people file these Chapter 13s and to try to help save their house, and they don't know how to proceed with the Chapter 13 on how to use it. You got to focus on that proof of claim, adversary proceeding on that, and that state stuff would just come to a halt because it's now on the federal level. Now, getting to my other situation here, I'm helping my brother out in Colorado Springs do a lawsuit from a Wells Fargo bank account, or I'm sorry, credit card account against, I think I heard Terry say this before, that she's dealing with these guys, Midland Funding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Familiar
okay,
name.
Okay, and anyway, what happened was that he was supposed to went to court on October 28th. No one sent him anything regarding that. I helped him out. I did a motion to do a void default judgment, so that was granted. And so now he went to court the other day, and I mocked, you know, kind of trained him on what to say to this guy all the way from Illinois to Colorado. So what I'm getting at is this. He gets to court, and he thought he was supposed to be having a trial. It didn't wind up being a trial. The attorney from the other side, from Brian Becker, one of his associates who's representing those guys, came into a private room with him and said, hey, listen, so what do you want to do? You want to try to settle this thing? He said, no. He told him exactly what I said to say to him. He said, listen, he said, are you willing to dismiss this thing here, or do you just want to continue to milk your clients? He said, why you say that? He said, because you know you don't have nothing here. But here's the question. He have an affidavit, guys. It's called Affidavit of Sale by Account by Original Creditor, and it's done in the state of Iowa, County of Dallas, by a guy named Chris Kemper, being duly sworn, deposes and say, but he's talking about he's over 18 and not a party to this action. I am a sales liaison of Wells Fargo Bank N.A. In that position, I am a custodian of the creditor's books and records and am aware of the process of the sale and assignment of electronically stored business records. So when I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. That's not first-hand knowledge. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that first-hand knowledge?
Of course not.
Absolutely not. Okay, and then the other thing is was my brother having made a payment on this thing here. It was since 2007, and then here it says on or about June 22nd, 2012, the date of the sale, Wells Fargo Bank N.A. sold a pool of charge-off accounts by purchase and sale agreement and a bill of sale of Midland, to Midland Funding. So my brother said, so what do you have? He said, we have a bill of sale. And then I told my brother after I thought about it, we're going to file a motion. You guys correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm going to go ahead and file a motion to dismiss this case here based on hearsay because, one, there are some things on the affidavit that I understand that must be put in there.
You're wrong. You listening? You keep talking. I ever said you're wrong three times and you don't listen.
No, I'm sorry. I must have got cut off. It was voice activated here.
You get to talking too much.
No, my phone is voice activated.
You need to file a motion. Listen, motion to strike affidavit.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I have
then
down here.
Then you file your motion. Then you can do a motion on the for judgment on the pleadings or whatever you want to do to eradicate it. But at the end of the day, that's nothing but hearsay.
Right. Yeah, that's what I have here. I put down that, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm doing that now, motion to strike the affidavit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what
I'm talking about.
Do that first. Bring that up for hearing. And once that's done, if you win that, because sometimes you're not, then you can file your motion for judgment on the pleadings or whatever you're going to do after the fact. But no, don't do a motion to dismiss based on an affidavit. Strike the affidavit first.
Okay, maybe that's what I should have said first, but that's what I meant to say. Because they said down to February 19th.
Hang on a second. One of the things that you got to remember with this stuff, when they come up with these affidavit of sale, they don't have any of the stuff that specifies that individual account
That's my next point. Right. That was my next point.
They always just say, we bought 38,421 accounts for $17 million. Dollars. And
right.
It doesn't say it was this particular account of this individual with this Social Security number and this amount, so on and so forth. They can't just say, oh, we bought a bunch of accounts and, you know, guess what? Yours was in it.
Only
That's
thing
not
that
acceptable.
I saw... Dave, was a document showing a statement with his name on it, with his mailing address and everything. It wasn't a contract. It wasn't nothing signed or anything like that. And that's what kind of rattled me because you're absolutely on point there because that's the next thing that I was focusing on. It said you can have a pool of accounts all they want to, but where is your contract at?
It doesn't show that his – it was listed on the accounts. They may say, well, there was one. Well, where's the list of accounts? And see, they're never, ever going to produce that. And that's what you got to focus in on that. You got to say, I want to see the list of accounts that you purchased and see that mine's included in it. Oh, well, no, we can't show you that. Well, then how do I know mine was in there? You can't just say it was. You have to prove it was. That's where you got to hammer down on.
Yeah, usually the rules of evidence require that when you do an affidavit on those business records, the business records you're testifying to need to be attached to that affidavit. That's pretty much standard protocol.
And, of course, not a statement. Statement don't mean anything.
Statement doesn't mean a damn thing unless you get
right.
to back it
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Because they're supposed to be going to mediation on the 19th, and I told them, no, hell no, you're not going to go to no mediation on the 19th. We're going to do a motion to strike the affidavit. We're going to attack the affidavit, and then we're going to go ahead and take it from there.
Well, you got to go to mediation. You have a choice, especially the court ordered. All you got to do is show up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You got to do nothing else.
Yeah, all you got to do is show up. Doesn't mean you have to agree to anything.
That's right.
Okay. So, but still I should do the motion to strike affidavit before mediation.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If it's
okay,
coming up fairly
we're
quick,
Whitney,
you don't know if you're going to get
Dave.
Up.
We're Whitney, he thought my name was Dave. It's actually Wayne. But I'll catch him on the forum.
Yeah.
Whitney was trying to get my information earlier.
Cool.
We were both in Chicago. Okay, guys, that's all I have right now. I'll let you guys keep moving. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks very much. Okay, let's go to 305. You
hey
have
guys,
been
Tom,
unmuted.
My
go
own.
Ahead.
How you guys doing? Appreciate it.
Good.
I got a FDCPA, TCPA, FCCPA against Bayview Financial down here. My complaint. They filed a motion to dismiss based on failure to state a claim. I'm looking around on the site trying to find. I found a couple of things, but I'm doing some research. Where could I find something similar for failure to state a claim? I know that's pretty regular of what they submit usually in a lot of these cases.
You mean you're trying to do a motion in opposition to, right?
No, they filed a motion to dismiss my complaint.
You filed a federal complaint.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And
correct.
They're trying to dismiss it. You have to address the specific issues that they brought up in their motion to dismiss. You have to argue those specific issues.
Okay.
Right, but you can go back to the pleadings. You can go back to the pleading section and dig around back there.
On the site, right?
Yeah, pleading section.
All right. And then they also sent me, I haven't seen this, motion to strike jury demand.
Yeah.
I mean, basically they're trying to say that in the mortgage it says that I can't get a jury, but they're not on the mortgage and they have nothing to do with the mortgage. They're a third-party debt collector, has nothing to do with that at all.
That's right.
And is there anything like that on the website at all? Or did I just,
yes.
I just put that together in my own words? All right, where should I go
on?
Well,
it's there, but I gotta find, because, see, they did that to me. And
it's just weird. Why would they even bother? It's so stupid because their name's not on anything anywhere. There's no assignments to them. There's nothing anywhere in the court record or anywhere, and they're sending me, you know, that's just like me sending you and Morgan say, hey, I'm collecting for these guys. Give me some money. You know?
Well, they do that because there's a lot of people that don't know how to defend it, and they get
yeah.
the stealer properties. That's why they do it.
That's true. Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Yeah, they did a motion to strike a jury trial on Me Too. Very similar. I don't know. Let me open this document up. I want to share with you here for a second, Dave, and see if it is. They basically said contractually waived his right to a jury trial when his wife obtained the loan and the subject of this action. They signed the mortgage, contained a jury trial waiver, and the court must enforce this, yada, 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 right?
Correct. Yep.
I did a simple motion, and I'll read you the order. My simple motion was, I mean, literally simple. I've read it to you guys before here. The plaintiff sued the defense and Central Credit Services for attempted legitimate. City is not a debt collector as a residential mortgage servicer, and foreclosure actions are statutorily exempt from such coverage. City Mortgage has filed, this is the judge's words. City Mortgage has now filed a motion to strike jury demand on the plaintiff's claims, attaching a copy of the mortgage on the plaintiff's residence between the plaintiff and his wife, the original lender, GB Home Equity, which contains a jury trial waiver. Plaintiff also filed a second case alleging similar violations, whatever. City Mortgage argues the plaintiff's jury demand should be stricken based on the mortgage. City Mortgage was not an original party to the plaintiff's mortgage, but argues it may enforce the jury. But it argues because it's servicer or assignee. Anyway. I don't want to keep going on to all that nonsense. At the end of the day, he put this long. Anyway, in this case, the jury trial was knowingly and voluntarily executed. Immediately above the signatures, blah, 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 the plaintiff does not argue. See, I didn't argue about knowing and voluntary nature of the jury waiver or mortgage that he signed, but instead claims that he has no debt obligation at all to City Mortgage. See? Because there's no assignments. They're a debt collector. I can't owe them anything. Since the plaintiff denies the fact that he has any obligation to City, and City has not offered the plaintiff any evidence that the plaintiff, in fact, had any contractual or other obligation to City, it is obviously on its face a warrantless motion.
Motion. Now, did you...
It's a warrantless motion. The judge is telling them that it's a warrantless motion.
So the judge did it himself.
Yeah, there is no evidence in the record to support City's argument.
Okay. So I don't have to respond to that.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah,
I did a motion. I just said I did a motion. I said it right at the beginning of it.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I did a simple motion. Simple motion. I have no obligation. You know, I never argued that I didn't have it on there, that I didn't waive it. Absolutely I didn't waive it. Right? I waived
they
it with GT.
They haven't shown assignments to show that they were the owner. Therefore, you don't have any obligation to them. Therefore, if you have no obligation, that waiver of jury is non-existent, is it not?
Yeah. Right.
They haven't shown in the court through assignments that they are a party that can enforce that. They haven't shown that they are in that position. That's what you got to argue.
Very simple one-page motion. All right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's so simple. It really is so simple. Because all you're doing is saying, listen, I'm not arguing. You know, the defendant argues that I've waived my motion or my right to a jury trial, and I agree. I waive my right to a jury trial with so-and-so that's on whatever it is that you know what I mean? But since there's nothing showing them or connecting them to the document they say I signed and waived, they're not entitled to the benefit of a contract that they're not a party to. End of motion. Done. Therefore, their motion should be denied. I mean, it's so simple.
Yeah, it's real simple.
It's that simple. Okay?
It's just getting the wording proper.
Okay.
That's all. All right.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
All right. That take care of you?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Okay, Jesse, it's top of the hour, but you gabbed a lot in the beginning. What do you want to do, three more?
Yeah, let's knock them out, man.
Okay, let's do three more,
and then we'll call it
right there. We're going to go to 708. I think, Rodney, do you have any more?
I've got one more. I'm working on my Chase Bank complaint, and here's a general question. Of all the inquiries, about 30 total, they were listed either as J.P. Morgan Chase, Chase Card Member Services, or just Chase. Should I list each one independently as the defendants or just Chase Bank USA?
They're all different corporations.
Okay. All right. And then just list their respective registered agent for servicing.
Yeah. I mean, those are all different corporations, man, every one of them.
Okay. And then final question. They pulled my credit again in November of 2013. I've already sent off the dispute, removal of inquiry to Experian, but I don't need to wait on a reply from Experian. I can go ahead and file the lawsuit.
That I'm not sure.
Say that one again.
Yeah.
The complaint is written up, and I had 31 inquiries listed in the complaint, but...
Holy crap.
They just pulled it again in November.
Yeah.
I just pulled my December report, and it shows that they pulled it in November. One more time. So do I add that to the complaint and or wait for a response back from Experian to see if it's removed, or does it matter?
Well, you can't unring the bell if they take it off. Does that mean that the bell never rang? No.
Okay, I'll follow.
Ding dong! I already heard the bell there.
Okay, so I can go ahead and move forward with it because it's already in the complaint. I'm going to add it in the complaint, but I just didn't know should I wait to see does it actually get removed.
Well, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. If they rang the bell, they rang the bell, didn't they?
Yep. Okay, I'm good.
There you go.
Thank you guys. Good night.
Yeah, buddy. Good night, pal.
All right, we're going to go to the one that's 1111111. Go ahead. You were just unmuted. If you were just unmuted, you're up. Hello.
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 Talk to us.
I'm 201.
Oh, 201. Well, on the board here, all I've got is ones, but you're unmuted.
Oh, okay.
You got a question for us?
Yeah, I have a question. Question regarding Capital One. How would I know it says that my account was charged off and they sued me Well, I sent actually a letter, not a letter of dispute. I asked them to validate the debt, and they didn't answer it within the 30 days or whatever. So then
they don't have to answer within 30 days. They never have to respond.
Oh, they don't?
No, they are not required. That's a misconception a lot of people have. They are not required to respond. What they cannot do is continue collection actions if they don't respond and validate.
Okay, well, okay, so in my case, what they did was they actually, I sent the letter of validation, whatever, to them in early November, and then 15 days later they sent me, they actually sued me or whatever.
Aren't they an original creditor, Dave?
I was just going to say, Capital One, depending on which entity it is very possibly the original creditor, or you might have them playing games with the names. You got to look and see exactly who you had the account with in the beginning and then who is actually suing you.
Okay.
And we've had a number of discussions about that in the calls because Capital One has a whole bunch of Capital One entities. Right, Larry?
That is
Larry's
correct.
Had some experience with Capital One. Can you give him a little bit of insight? I'm assuming this person is kind of new.
Yeah, you guys can hear me, right?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, in the past I've sued Capital One Bank and Capital One Services, and I can't remember which one I sued first. They claim they were the wrong entity. I needed to sue the other one, so I did. Instead of replacing one with the other, I just added one. And clearly one of them was not the original creditor. And finally they ended up settling with me. They actually offered me a judgment for $10,000, which they paid. But, yeah, there's several different entities of Capital One, and you got to determine which ones are involved. There may be several, so make sure you read carefully all the paperwork you have and include everybody who might be included.
Well, they say it's Capital One Bank. They're being represented by a Noodleman Clement here in New Jersey, Golub, and it's Capital One Bank. That's the one that...
Okay. Did they include a copy of the so-called original contract?
No. They didn't have anything on there. They said they didn't have to do that. So.
What does your credit report say?
Credit report said, I don't know, I have that in front. Oh, which one? I'm not sure. I don't know which one's on the credit report. I have to check that.
Yeah, you may find Capital One Services listed in at least one of the credit reporting agencies.
So every loss, so they are the original creditor on every lawsuit. Is that what you're telling me for the most part?
No,
well,
regardless of who sues you, they're going to claim they're the original creditor.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
May not.
And I sent out, actually when they sued me, I answered. We have 35 days here to answer, so I answered the complaint. And then I sued them for an FDCPA violation stating that they didn't validate the debt. I mean, they sued me before they, like you said, they don't have to validate it, but they didn't do it within the 30 days or whatever. You know what I mean? They sued me, so.
No, there's no 30 days. Get rid of the 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
The 30 days, let me explain something, Dave. The 30 days, for everybody listening, I don't know why this is so confusing. The 30 days to validate falls on you, not the other side. You have 30 days to request validation or verification after you receive the letter or demand for payment.
That's what I did. I requested...
Okay, that's it. It doesn't apply to anybody out there but you.
Okay, so I asked them. In November, they sent me a letter saying, and I asked for validation of the debt. Okay, that's what happened. I did it within that 30-day period. I'm sorry. I got confused. And then when I sent them that, they didn't respond to it. So, and then 15 days later, I got a letter in the mail, a registered letter saying that they were suing me for the debt in special civil part, the court here in New Jersey. That's what happened. So then I responded to the, I answered the complaint with a whole bunch of affirmative defenses, and I put discovery on them really quickly, and they haven't, and in New Jersey we have days to answer the discovery, and they haven't done that either.
So you got to do a motion to compel.
Yeah.
Go look at your rules. Sounds like you haven't read your rules very good. You need to go do a motion to compel,
mm-hmm.
and then call it up for hearing.
Okay.
Yeah,
they
stay
can't
around
just
these guys.
Ignore
they
your request for discovery.
That's right. When they guys and listen this again for everybody's listening, when this other side ignore you or treat you like you're an idiot because you're a pro se, show them that you're not an idiot. But it's up to you to show them. Disprove them.
But
don't stand around waiting with your thumb up your behind. It ain't going to happen.
Right. But since I asked for validation of the debt and they didn't do it, like you, I understand what you're saying now. What does that mean for me anyway?
Doesn't mean anything. They're the alleged original creditor, right? We don't know, are they? You have to tell us. We don't know. Did you have something with Capital One?
Yeah.
That's where you have to go, like Larry was saying. You need to look. Don't just look at the words Capital One. Look
right.
at what comes after Capital One. Is it Capital One Bank, Capital One Services, Capital One Janitorial Service? What is it? You have to really filter
right.
that stuff out and pay attention to
One
the
Bank.
Details.
Oh, I'm sorry. Capital One Bank USA, N.A. They're listing them as the plaintiff. And then they have the attorneys that are representing them, and then it says Capital One Bank USA, N.A.
Okay.
Okay, is that who you had your
yeah.
account with, though?
I'm sorry?
Is that who you had your account with?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't
look on your billing
okay.
statements.
Yeah, yeah. You need to do more homework before you do anything else. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, you got to watch the details. You're not drilling down far enough on the details. You know, you're getting there, but you're not drilling down far enough yet. You got to look at those fine points.
What's that old adage?
Gotta,
the devil is what? The devil's in the details.
In the details, absolutely. That's
right,
where you're going to find that damn devil every time. It's right down there in the details.
That's right.
Okay.
So yeah,
all
keep working on your homework.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, you bet. Okay, we're going to go to our last caller for tonight, which is area code 862. Come on. Trying to get this thing unmuted here. This thing's acting squirrely. Well, that's really interesting. Come on.
I shouldn't need anything.
Oh, well, 862 just jumped right off the board. That's what happened. We evidently we went
yeah,
to 206.
Yeah, I got this motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got this motion that I want to share with that gentleman if he's still on here. I'm going to also put it on the website.
Did anybody send you the whole thing yet?
Okay.
Somebody's
this,
unmuted,
we had,
David.
Well, we had 206 that came up.
Yeah. No wonder what the hell.
Okay.
Hey, just cover them up.
Yep. Go ahead, Jesse.
The gentleman, I forget what his number is. I'm looking at the board, and I can't
I
tell what his number is. No, the guy with the motion to strike the jury, Terrell?
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember
which one it was. I forget what number he was, darn it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to go ahead. If you're listening, I'm going to go ahead and put this into the forum section under the pleadings, so you can, and I'll label it motion in opposition to strike jury trial. I'm doing it as we speak. So if anybody has to deal with this, you guys can get some idea of what it is, and I'm going to put it into the Florida, because it's under the state. So we're going to put it under Florida, all right, and give them that. So. All right, Dave, why don't you go ahead and go over the...
Yep, I'll wrap her up here.
Call schedule, pal.
Okay, and everybody knows that we have webinars every Wednesday afternoon. This is for the members only. If you're not a member, you need to get signed up. Terry is doing the webinar tomorrow. Terry, what's the subject matter of your webinar?
Using PACER, Part 1, and we'll go over recap as well.
All right. Hey, for all of you people that are maybe a little rusty, haven't really gotten involved in using PACER, Terry's used it very extensively, so that's going to be something you don't want to miss. And then, of course, Terry gets to do double duty tomorrow because at 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night, she has her regularly scheduled weekly call. If you are not on her email list, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just simply say, I want to be on the list. She'll get you on there so that you get the call reminders and the other news and information and documents that she sends out. You don't want to miss that. And then, of course, that'll finish up for the week. Then we flip around to next Monday, and it's Dallas Death Discussion. That is still over on TalkShoe. The call starts at 9 o'clock Eastern, and the pin for that call is 54318. And we're rapidly coming up on finishing 5 years of Monday nights, never missed one. So please come and join us for those. As always, for the members, don't forget to utilize the forum. The forum has got a ton of information. It's a place for you to get quicker answers. It's a wealth of information. And for all of you that are not members yet, these calls are not a replacement for being a member of the site. They just absolutely can't be. You get bits and pieces of what's going on with various cases here. You need to be a member so that you get the full picture and have all of the information that's available for these various subjects. So, you know, there's a money-back guarantee on it, $99 and $49 a month, and, you know, you can try it for 60 days, and if you don't like it, you get your money back, no questions. So you can't go wrong.
Yep.
There's no risk to
yeah.
you.
And as I always say,
Jesse,
I challenge anybody to go on the Internet. Yeah, I challenge anybody to go on that Internet and find somebody complaining about not getting their money back in 3 years.
No.
It's no questions asked. We don't even fool around. It's out of our control. So, in essence, you can use it for free, literally for 60 days. And if you don't like it, you get your money back. End of story. So other than that, guys, God bless everybody. Terry, we'll see you tomorrow, sweetheart.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, David.